Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father and full of grace and truth, you have revealed that you are one with the Father. You also have revealed yourself as the giver and sustainer of life. Now you reveal yourself as the true bread from heaven that gives life to the world. So we come to you, bread of life, for that real food that gives eternal life. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. John chapter 5 took place in Jerusalem and provided a very clear teaching of Jesus' relationship with the Father. John chapter 6 is back up north in the region of Galilee. Jesus continues to heal and perform miraculous signs, and the word is spreading far and near about him. John writes, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd followed him up the mountainside, and there Jesus sat down and his disciples sat down, finding that place to just be together. And then seeing the great crowd coming, Jesus turns to Philip and asks him about buying bread for all of them. More than 8 months' wages would be needed for just a tiny bite for each person to eat. And you know the particulars, how 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish became a feast for all, eating to their fill. The scripture says they all had as much as they wanted. Then 12 baskets full of pieces of leftovers were picked up. More was left than what they began with. Such is the power of God. That's what came to my mind as I was watching the drama this past Thursday night here in church. The power of God. If you were unable to be here, the drama was very special. I invite you to come this Thursday for the next part of the drama with Jesus walking on the water. As I said, I was sitting and absorbing the message of the drama this past Thursday night, taking a few pictures here and there. And I was drawn to the disciples. In particular, I was drawn towards the end where the disciples were gathering the 12 baskets full of leftovers and stacking the baskets. 1 basket, 2 baskets. I mean, think about that. The fact that the 12 baskets full of leftovers was significantly more, drastically more than the 5 small barley loaves that they began with. And that basket after basket being stacked, just the power of God. Give the Lord your little. Give it to the Lord. Give generously. And the power of God will take that little. The boy gave his all with the 5 barley loaves. But the power of God will do something so tremendous. Think about that. From that experience, the people on the hillside having their hunger satisfied, the people were going to go take Jesus and make him king. He fed them today. He can feed them tomorrow. That would be fantastic to have a king to take care of us. We wouldn't have to work anymore. King Jesus would feed us. Totally missing the point. The miracle was a sign to point them to who Jesus is, the Son of God. As Jesus left the crowd, he went up to the mountainside to be alone, and the disciples went down to the sea and crossed over. And during the night, Jesus was walking on the water to them. And again, come this Thursday night for soup and sandwich and absorb the drama to feed your faith. Hey, bring a friend, and perhaps even bring a stranger who may become a brother or sister in Christ because you invited them for soup and sandwich and worship. Because the power of God is able to do wonders. That crowd on that mountainside had their tummies filled as much as they wanted. And they went looking for Jesus, looking for more. And they finally found him the next day on the other side of the lake in Capernaum. They found him in the synagogue, and Jesus was teaching. And there, Jesus tells it like it is. I tell you the truth. Remember, that is amen, amen. I tell you the truth. Look, here is the truth. You are looking for me because your tummies are full. You are not looking for me because of the wonders you saw. They came looking for what he could give them, not because they came to believe who he is, the Son of God. Remember all those claims in John chapter 5? Claims the people would not believe, and the religious leaders began to plot how to kill Jesus because he was claiming to be equal to God. Those claims of John chapter 5 have demonstration of power to back them up. And drawing us again to that claim, that truth claim of eternal life. That life through the Son Jesus proclaimed is now being emphasized even more in John chapter 6. To turn the crowds from the attention of the immediate to the eternal. Jesus began saying, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Yes, Jesus fed you yesterday, and you are hungry today. But don't look for more of that kind of food from Jesus. Look for, ask for the food that lasts to eternity. The crowd asks, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answers, believe in the one he has sent. Believe is the work. Now, the crowd is just being ridiculously silly. Their response back to Jesus is, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, and on they went. Such silliness! They had just personally experienced a miracle. They partook of 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, becoming a feast for thousands. Thousands. And they were one of those thousands who had their fill. They ate as much as they wanted, satisfied. And now they have the audacity to ask, what will you do? What miracle will you do? Jesus expands his teaching in John chapter 6 that began in John chapter 5. Jesus again uses that relational word, Father, when referring to God. The crowd talked about Moses giving the manna in the desert. Jesus corrects them and said it was the Father. And now the Father is giving the true bread from heaven to give life to the world. Have you ever considered those wonderful properties of bread that God created? Grain ground and a few additional ingredients added that produce a substance that is nourishing. A substance that sustains life. All across the world, some form of bread can be found. Bread is life-sustaining. It's life-giving. But alas, it's not filling unto eternal life. Eat some bread today. Eat some bread tomorrow. You'll be hungry the next day again. The crowd cries, "Give us this bread." Jesus answered, "I am the bread of life." Don't go too fast beyond that "I am." I am. The very presence of God is here. The bread of life. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 6, verse 35. "He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Seeing, and the people do not believe. What about you? Do you believe? This is getting to the heart of the matter. Jesus saying what he said was to get the people to see him, to see what was in their own hearts, to get their motivation as to why they were looking for Jesus from their tummies being filled to seeking to have the life that the very presence of God can give. The difference. Believe. Believe in the one who was sent, the Son of Man, the Messiah. Believe in the one standing before you right now, Jesus was saying to the crowd. Like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 who wanted that continuous supply of water so she would not have to draw water from the well. These people want a continuous supply of bread so they would not have to work to get it. Just as Jesus turned the woman's attention to himself, Jesus is turning the crowd's attention to himself. However, this crowd responds differently. They begin to grumble. As Jesus claims, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They respond like this, "Hey, we knew your father. We know your mother Mary. We know your family from Nazareth. How can you say, I came down from heaven?" Now, to those who say Jesus never claimed to be God, you are mistaken. Jesus saying, "I came down from heaven," is a very clear claim. He is God. Listen to the word of Holy Scripture, beginning at John chapter 6, verse 45 through verse 51. "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The crowd pointed to Moses, and Jesus reminded them that those who ate the manna died. Now, right before them, standing right before them, is the true bread from heaven, which you may eat and not die. Living bread came down from heaven. eat this bread, you will live forever. And then Jesus gets very specific. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The crowd argues, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It is a good question. But they were not ready for the answer. John chapter 6, starting at verse 53 and verse 54, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. How did the crowd respond? By saying, this is a hard teaching. Jesus asked him, does this truth offend you? And then Jesus adds, what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? Again, another clear teaching that Jesus is God. Jesus ratchets it up even more, speaking that these words of the Spirit are words of life, and they are to be believed, with the final connection being, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. What was the result? Many left. Many of the disciples walked away. And you, what's the result in your life of these hard teachings? Jesus looked at the 12, are you going to leave? And Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, take these words that are words of life and learn from the truth that Jesus is teaching here in John chapter 6. In particular, John chapter 6, verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And connect that with, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus said as he broke the bread, this is my body which is for you. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. For both of these, Jesus said, do this. And through the years, the followers of Jesus Christ have been obedient. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, very early the church had in place a liturgy so that you would know what was taking place in the breaking of the bread and the passing of the cup. You would know why the bread. You would know why the cup. The liturgy of the words of institution are to make sure that you know why. Are the words necessary? Yes. To make clear what is taking place. Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, this bread is my flesh. Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. This teaching from John chapter 6 of Jesus certainly does sound like real presence in Holy Communion to me. Did you hear it? This bread is my flesh. Did you hear the real presence in John chapter 6 in Jesus' teaching? By eating the body and drinking the blood, you certainly have exactly as Jesus said. You have exactly as Jesus said, eternal life, and will live forever. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, come down from heaven to give life. Believe, eat, drink, and live forever. Amen and amen.